Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Siya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktivin Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So read one verse from the Bhagavad Gita. It's chapter number 4. Verse number 40. Agnyas chasidanas cha samsayam avinashyati nayam lokostina paro nasukam samsayatmanaha. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. And some, even though they have knowledge of or can even cite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. And even though others may have faith in the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in the worship of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. Men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next. For them there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith, and therefore be raised to the platform of knowledge. Only this knowledge will help one become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of great acharyas who are in the cyclic succession and thereby attain success. So, the importance of faith and the importance of scriptural knowledge. The basis of the practice of Krishna consciousness or spiritual is to understand how to proceed in the right way. One can take up a process of spiritual life, and one has to understand how the process works, or one has to understand what is the goal of the process. Without understanding the goal, one will not be able to understand how to proceed towards the goal. So scripture, or knowledge, is the teaching that gives us the understanding of how to proceed. And this knowledge comes from two sources, from scripture and from the representative of scripture, the pure devotee, the spiritual master. So one has to understand things in order to proceed nicely. This knowledge is freedom. People want freedom. People want freedom from what we say suffering, freedom from illusion, freedom from ignorance. It is said that in the material world, the conditioned soul is afflicted by four defects. Four defects is one has imperfect senses. The senses are limited. One can only see within a certain range. One can only experience things within a certain range of one's senses. But even within that range of experience, one is subject to mistakes or illusion. So because the senses are only imperfect, one sees things according to one's, what we say, understanding, but that may not be correct, because one's understanding may also be incorrect. So the senses are limited, and they lead to illusion. And because of illusion, what happens? One makes mistakes. They say to err is human, to make mistakes is a feature of human life. And by making mistakes, one tries to cover the mistakes, or doesn't accept mistakes, and that is called cheating. Cheating. Accepting something other than what it actually is, and going on in the name of something. So, afflicted and affected by these four defects, one is always subject to suffering. That is the nature of this world. So therefore, there is a way to free oneself from these defects, and that is the process of bhakti. But the foundation of that process is given by the scriptures and by the spiritual master. And that is the knowledge that it takes to practice this process, and the knowledge that actually comes by way of the process itself, what knowledge we obtain. People go to universities or to various forms of educational institutions in order to gain knowledge. But this is not knowledge. This is what we say information. Things that are necessary in order to keep the body and mind together in order to function within this material world. And this is called silpa vidya by the scriptures, or things related to the body and mind in order to practice what we say one's livelihood in this world. The knowledge of economics, the knowledge of various technical things in this world, or even the knowledge of the nature of this, what makes up this material world, the different sciences. But this type of knowledge is limited and cannot really free one from what we say suffering. What is the use of having so much knowledge if still one is afflicted by so much unhappiness and suffering? In other words, this knowledge has to come to the point of freeing oneself from suffering, or freeing oneself from the bodily conception of life, which is the cause of suffering. The scriptures actually say that the bodily conception of life is actually the cause of suffering. To have a material body and to be, what we say, guided by the body and mind in one's activities means to accept suffering. That's the material world. What to do? How to get out of this entanglement? So one has to take knowledge from the bona fide source. And that bona fide source is the revealed scriptures. Scriptures are not something that are coming by way of some men. It is not someone who, no one can write scripture. Scripture is called aparushad. Aparushad means that divinely given, or given by the supreme authority himself. Another name for Krishna, he's called Adi Guru. He's the original spiritual teacher. He gives that knowledge through those who are qualified to receive it through the process of devotion. And they make that knowledge available through their vakya, through their words, and through their teachings and writings, which is the revealed scriptures. So actually, the revealed scriptures are actually the words of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, we can say he wrote many books. Others might say, well, he translated many. But he did both. He translated the scriptures from the Sanskrit and the Bengali to the English and then to various other languages. But Srila Prabhupada, although a self-realized soul, and one who has understood the scriptures, he would read the scriptures also as part of his day-to-day life. He would sit down and read his own books. How many persons would, once they write something and they're the author of something. They disseminate this knowledge in a commercial or economic way to people for some profit, or just as a feature of giving information. But people don't usually read their books after they write them. Maybe they read them and review them. But Prabhupada would read his own books. And sometimes he would sit there and he would laugh when he would read Krishna's pastimes, especially in Vrindavan. He would laugh or he would smile. He'd say, just see what Krishna is doing. He said, these are not my words. I am simply writing down what Krishna is speaking, that's all. These are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am simply his messenger, bringing this word, these words to all of you. But actually, so Prabhupada would find great happiness and transcendental pleasure in reading his own books, because he understood, I'm not really the author. This is transcendental knowledge. So this knowledge is a priceless gift. This verse explains that many people study scripture or even read scripture, but they don't actually have faith in scripture. They take issue with scripture. They doubt scripture. Or they filter scripture through their own, what we say, limited perception or limited experience of scripture. And therefore they come up with something different. But scripture is coming as it is. It's pure. Its teachings. This knowledge is not like mundane knowledge where you buy a book or you read some philosophy and you can discuss it, you can learn it, you can even use it in different ways. But at one point, you can only go so far. It's not that the knowledge is ever expanding. But transcendental knowledge is called, it's dynamic. Dynamic means each time you come in contact with this knowledge, it's like coming in contact for the first time. Each time is an experience, because these words are not just, you know, letters on a piece of page. They're actually living representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we read these books, we're actually coming in contact with Krishna through his transcendental sound vibration. It's called Sabda Brahman. So this knowledge is always fresh. And the more one comes in contact with this, the more one experiences the knowledge that is there. It is revealed knowledge. It's not something, well, I learned it, therefore I know it. It's like sometimes you see people say, well, I've read Bhagavad Gita. But what do you do? Well, you know, I pull rickshaw. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you wouldn't be working like an ass. Transcendental knowledge frees one from suffering. You can read it, but do you actually know it? Know it means to apply it, and apply it means to realize it, and to realize it means to become free from suffering. It comes from this, from the bodily conception of life, which is the cause of suffering. So this knowledge is ever fresh, it's dynamic. So when Srila Prabhupada, he wrote so many books, translated so many books, but he would put so much concentration in writing these books and translating these books, that it was a meditation. Srila Prabhupada would translate the Srimad Bhagavatam, he very carefully and systematically, beginning with the first canto, all the way through the, of course he finished 10 cantos, and he would do it at a time when everyone was sleeping. Prabhupada's schedule was quite unique, quite amazing. His devotees who worked with him and who served him could never keep up with his schedule. Throughout the day he was always traveling, preaching, meeting people or in some form of way giving Krishna consciousness. But then when evening time came, he would be translating books. He would hardly even sleep. He would take rest. Prabhupada even explained his own schedule. He said, I would go to sleep between 10 and 11 every night. And then after 1.5, 2 hours, he would get up. Sleeping most 2 hours. And then he would do his meditations, taking the commentaries of the previous acharyas in disciplic succession who wrote on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He would carefully study these commentaries. And then, after studying them, give his own realizations to their words and apply it and give the translations and purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was the most quietest time of the day. No one was from about 12 o'clock midnight to 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Prabhupada would be doing this every day. And there's one story, just to show how deep his meditation was on translating this book. He would, one time there was a noise. So if Prabhupada wanted something in the middle of the night, he would ring his bell. He'd have a bell. Mm-hmm. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, ring the bell. And then his servant would come in. Servant would always sleep right outside the door. And then if the bell rang, that means he would get up and see what Prabhupada wanted. So he heard the bell. He came in. Prabhupada said, you hear that noise? The servant said, no. Prabhupada said, listen. You hear that noise? No, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, listen. Oh, yeah, yeah. Stop that noise. It's disturbing. So the devotee went different places, and then finally he traced out the noise, and was here in India, and it was a fan. It was going click, 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 click. You know how those fans sometimes? Prabhupada could hear it from a distance away, disturbing his translation. That's how quiet he would like it. So he could simply absorb his concentration in giving, what we say, the highest teachings in a practical, understandable way for us. Of course, mostly he was thinking, of course, Prabhupada was thinking how the Western mentality can understand this knowledge. But of course, it was for everyone. So that was Prabhupada's meditation and how he brought Srimad Bhagavatam. And, of course, Bhagavad Gita and the other translations, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, to the world. Very carefully studying and sometimes he would spend 2 or 3 whole evenings simply doing one verse. It wasn't like he was going through the verses really fast. He would spend 2 or 3 evenings reading one verse. So that meditation on the Supreme Lord and the transcendental understanding of the scriptures brought about this Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. This knowledge is freedom. One who understands this knowledge is free. Freedom in the sense that one is no longer under the influence of the material energy. Just like calamities come in our lives, no one can stop calamities. Difficulties come. That is the nature of being living in this world. You don't ask for them, they come. And simply by having a material body, we can expect difficulties. That is the nature of having a material body. Prabhupada said, to have a material body is a bad bargain. But the best use of a bad bargain is to engage that same material body in the service of the Lord. That is the best use of something that is, what we say, a bad bargain. So suffering comes, but how do we process suffering? How do we deal with difficulties? How do we understand how to proceed forward in life when calamities come, when inauspiciousness comes? Is that this knowledge gives you the clarity and the understanding of how to understand things clearly, how to move forward in life. Because we know that this material world and everything within it is temporary. And how to stay within the transcendence, or be in the transcendence amidst the waves of the material world. Just like if one gets sick, sometimes one gets really sick, and then one's life becomes very difficult. But then, if one has transcendental knowledge, one knows that yes, the body is sick and it's destined to become like that. But I am not this body. I am a soul, part and parcel of Krishna. What is happening is not happening to me. If I identify with that, then I also suffer. If I get an anxiety over that, then I also experience what we call illusion based on something that is temporary. So this knowledge is a way out of the suffering. And then ultimately this knowledge brings us to the transcendental platform or to Krishna consciousness. So this knowledge is, we say, freedom. Knowledge is greater than power. There's no power in the world that can limit this knowledge. Just like there's a famous story, the famous story of Socrates. Socrates was a Greek philosopher, a very famous Greek philosopher. His writings and teachings are studied in universities today and around the world. But during his time, he was somewhat of a revolutionary. He was teaching things that were against the political arrangements of the time. The government didn't like what he was teaching, but still he was teaching. So he was threatened with punishment if he didn't stop, but still he continued. Finally, he was arrested. And they said, because you've failed to, you know, give up your teachings, therefore we're going to punish you by killing you. Very nice. So he was forced to drink poison. And they told him, now, Socrates, when you die, what should we do with you? That's what they said. He said, well, before you can kill me, you have to catch me. And as far as my body is concerned, you can do whatever you want with that. He knew he was not the body. He knew death is not something that happens to him. It happens to the soul. It happens to the body. The soul is not the body. So to know that, and to realize that, means one is free. This knowledge is freedom. Of course, we know it theoretically, and theoretically is the basis for understanding, but practically can be understood through the process of devotional service. So knowledge is power. Prabhupada also tells the story of how intelligence is also greater than physical power. Would you like to hear a story? It's a little cute little story from, it's a story, anyway, you'll like it. There's one tiger. The tiger, it was actually a lion, actually. Not a tiger, a lion. It's one step up from a tiger. So this lion, he was harassing all the animals in the jungle. He would attack the animals. So the animals were becoming very upset that this tiger was, lion, was indiscriminately attacking the animals. So what to do? So they got together and they had a meeting discussing, well, you know, this lion, he's causing great problems. But, you know, he has to get his food. So let's make a program. So they decided to make a program. So decision was that we'll call the lion and we'll discuss what we should do. So they called the lion and said, yes. Well, we've come up with a solution. We know you have to eat, but you're out of line. So will sacrifice one animal to you every 2 weeks, and don't disturb us in between. So the animal said, the lion said, sounds good. I agree. So the program went on. So it was time for this one rabbit. He was to give up his life for the lion's lunch. So this rabbit was smart, though. He was a little intelligent. No, rabbits are not usually like that. But anyway, this rabbit was. And he took his time to go meet the lion. And he was very late, really late. Lion said, "You're late. I'm twice as hungry." He said, "I'm lucky I got here. Do you know what happened? I was coming along right on time, and then this other lion, he was going to eat me. And I said, no, you can't do that. I'm supposed to be eaten by this other lion." So I had to really run to get away, and it took me a long time to get away from him, but I got away because I know, you know, I'm your Prashad, not his. So the lion said, "What other lion?" "Oh, I'll show you where he is. Come. I'm the king here." So this rabbit was really smart. He led him to a well. He said, "He's in that well." So the lion looked down. He saw his own reflection. The rabbit said, "There he is. You can see him." And then the lion roared, "Rah!" Something like that, anyway. It's been a long time since I was a lion, so I forgot how to roar. Now I do other things, but anyway. Anyway, you can give me some credit for trying, anyway. So when he roared, you know, the echo came back, and then he said, he jumped to get the other lion, he fell into the well. When he finished, he died. So Prabhupada tells this story. Did you get the end? I'll tell you it again. So he looked down in the well, and when he roared, he saw himself in the reflection, and he heard the sound of his own voice, and he jumped to attack the other lion, and he died. He fell right into the well. So Prabhupada said, intelligence is greater than physical power. Intelligence is greater than physical power. There's many stories how we even see how the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhagavad Gita, the Pandavas headed by, you know, I mean, the, yeah, the Pandavas headed by the five Pandava brothers, Yudhisthira, were no match for the Kurus in the battle of Kurukshetra. They were outnumbered and had the best fighters. But because of Krishna's intelligence, by his intelligence, they won, actually. Because intelligence is always greater than physical power. And there are many stories like that also. So to have intelligence, transcendental knowledge, means to be free. Now we are in the month of December. This is the month where devotees go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. This is the Christmas, they call it the Christmas marathon, right? So it's a good time to give transcendental knowledge to others. Of course, any time is a good time. But we have chosen this time to accelerate the process of book distribution. Srila Prabhupada wanted his books distributed profusely because he knew that this knowledge, once accepted, people are on their way back home, back to Godhead. So when we're out there distributing Prabhupada's books, it's two things are important to understand. Actually, more than two, but two basic things. Is that this knowledge that we're carrying to the conditioned souls is the greatest gift that we can possibly give them. Because society is so arranged that society likes to do things to uplift people's suffering. People feed the poor, clothe people, open hospitals to care for people's body when they're sick. Educational institutions to give knowledge. So many ways that society has arranged philanthropical, humanitarian, welfare activities or basic necessities to give people a better life. But still, we can understand all these things deal with the body and mind, and therefore they're temporary and cannot alleviate people's suffering in the long run. They have some value, no doubt. But in the long run, people are suffering. Why are they suffering? What is the suffering? Lack of understanding who they are. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, whose disappearance day was yesterday, he would say that there's only one type of suffering in this world, lack of God consciousness, or lack of Krishna consciousness. When people are Krishna conscious or God conscious, they have the tools to free themselves from suffering. They have the way out. So therefore, to give this knowledge, the knowledge that is coming from the Acharyas, the knowledge coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to give the greatest gift. Sometimes I do work in America with other religious institutions. We work together in order to make a united front to somehow bring spiritual religious knowledge to people in general. But sometimes I am confronted with these different programs by other organizations. What do they want to do? They want to do welfare work in the name of religion. They want to just cater to the body and mind and call that preaching. I find that they want to feed people. We do that also, and that is important. But there's not so many institutions that really are focused on giving transcendental knowledge. Why? A lot of them have lost the focus and therefore think that to help others means to uplift their material conditions. But helping others means to not only to bring them to a better material condition, but to bring them to a spiritual condition, to bring them to transcendence, to bring them free from all material conditions. Simply to remain in the prison house, in a better prison cell, is really not helping anybody. If you're in the jail and you think, well, I'll just be a privileged prisoner, is that a good arrangement? Just like in prisons, there are, we can say, three categories of prisoners, just like almost like the three modes of material nature. You have the day-to-day prisoners, people who are mainstream. And then if someone does something wrong within the prison, then they get put into solitary confinement where they have less freedom within the prison, more restrictions. And then there's those who behave nicely in the prison and they get privilege. They may have keys to unlock certain doors to let other prisoners in and out. Or they may have access to libraries, and sometimes they even have jobs within the prison. So they're better prisoners. So if one is thinking, let me just get a better place in the prison house, is that good business? I mean, you're still in the prison house and you still have to undergo the suffering of being in the prison house. So sometimes we see that what goes on in helping other people means to just bring him to a less form of suffering. But still, suffering is there. So therefore, this transcendental knowledge is the greatest gift. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to say, if one simply, one gets a book, one reads a book, one simply sees the book, or one touches the book, any way they come in contact with this knowledge, he said they are benefited. Speaking of prisons, I have the good fortune of being able to preach in prisons sometimes. And we do actually what is called a prison ministry, where we sometimes go into the prisons and preach to people within the prisons. But a lot of the persons who are in prisons, who have come in contact with Krishna consciousness, have come in contact with Prabhupada's books. Never met a devotee, never been to a temple, Prabhupada's books. Somehow a book came into the prison. And we hear stories, like sometimes people would say, and this is very common, it's not an unusual story, where people would say, well, I was looking for spiritual life, I tried this, I tried that, I tried this, but as soon as I came in contact with Bhagavad Gita, with A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami's books, I knew this is what I was looking for. So many stories like that, so many. Because they were searching, and they were looking for the real thing. When they found the real thing, they recognized it. They were able to reckon it. So we have hundreds and hundreds of people in America who are chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and becoming Krishna conscious in jail. And I could say the large majority, not just the majority, but the large majority have simply come in contact with Prabhupada's books, that's all. I mean, their lives were transformed simply by coming in contact with a book. Amazing. There are so many stories how someone has received a book and everything has changed. There's one story where this was in Europe. Do you like to hear another story? You still with me? Okay, just let me know if I lose you. Or you lose me, either one. I'll slow down. This girl, she went to a flea market. This is where some people put out their old stuff and they sell it. And you can buy somebody's old stuff. And they have these things called flea markets. People bring their stuff and they have a big market and you can buy it for like 1/10 of the price, the original price. So one girl, she went to this flea market and she saw a book, Science of Self-Realization. So she was about 9 years old. She took the book home and she showed her parents and her grandmother was there. Her grandmother said, let me see that. She said, you can't read this. She took it away. She says, This is not our religion. So that was that. And then after about a week or two, the grandmother decided to change the whole family. She said, now we're all becoming vegetarians. No more eating meat in this house. She said, this book, she read it, she decided to find out what the book was about. After reading Science of Self-Realization, she said, this is the real stuff. And she got everybody on vegetarian, including the dog. I don't know if he liked it or not, but still, he was on. He was one of the family members. And she said, this person, she was pointing to Prabhupada's picture, because there's a picture of Prabhupada there. She said, he's a great saint. He is a great saint. This knowledge, this is the best of all religions. Simply by, she was against it when she first saw it, but simply by reading the book, Prabhupada is there within the pages. These books are what we say, Prabhupada used to say, these books are my transcendental ecstasies. My ecstasies. That Prabhupada's expressions of his love for Krishna have come in the form of his teachings and his writings. One time someone asked Srila Prabhupada, common question, how will we associate with you once you leave us? Prabhupada said, I'm in my books. You read my books, you can associate with me directly. So you think about that. How can we associate with Prabhupada simply by reading what he wrote? It seems like the association is there, but it's less direct. It's not so direct. But actually, what Prabhupada is saying is that these writings and teachings are non-different than me. One time, I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. I was sitting just reading. And then something very interesting happened while I was reading. I was no longer reading the words, but the words were speaking to me. Prabhupada's voice was speaking the words that I was reading. It was like listening to a tape recording. No longer was I just reading, but I was hearing the words, and the hearing was Prabhupada's voice. And it went on for some time. And then at one point, it stopped. So I was thinking, Prabhupada wanted to show me that yes, I'm in my books. You read my books, you can associate with me directly. This is the power of these books. So for those of us who are out there doing book distribution, or should I say, everyone should take an opportunity during this Maitreya to distribute books. Because distributing books means to give the highest welfare work to people in general. If one simply takes a book, their life is transformed. Even if they don't read it, if they keep the book in the house, someone will benefit. And just by having the book in the place, that means that Krishna has come in the form of literature. It's none different than Krishna. There's one story. Sometimes we see that the person who actually receives the book is not the person who actually benefits from the book. It's a friend or a family member. There's one story where one hippie type person, he came to our temple in Chicago and he said, I want to join. I said, okay. And I said, well, how did you hear about us? He said, one day my father was cleaning out his closet full of old books and he was taking it to the used bookstore. In America they have these called used bookstores where you can bring your old books and they give you a little bit of money for each book and then they resell it. So while his father was carrying out the books, on the top of the pile there was the Bhagavad Gita. So he saw that and he said, let me see that book. So his father gave him the book and he read it and he said, this book is interesting. He became really inspired by reading the book. Then he was thinking, I have to find these people. So he looked into the book, but there was no address. And he became really concerned. I've got to find these people. So one day he was walking along the street and he met a book distributor. He said, oh, I was looking for you people. He said, yes, we have a temple here in Chicago. He said, oh, please show me. So he came and I met him. He wanted to join in New Vrindavan community in West Virginia, so I drove him there and he joined and got initiated simply by coming in contact with Prabhupada's books. So how valuable these books are. But Prabhupada used to say, if you're out there distributing my books, you have to read the books too. It's not like you distribute and say, someone says, well, what's in the book? I don't know, but we just distribute, that's all. My spiritual master, he writes, and he's the best. But we just sell, we're booksellers. He says, no, we're not booksellers, we're actually knowledge givers. So we have to read these books too. Because this knowledge is for us. Prabhupada said, I wrote these books for the devotees, not only for selling. So he wanted us to read them and also to understand them like that. And if someone asks you a question, and many times we get questioned, and sometimes they have difficult questions, like, work is worship. How do you answer that one? Work is worship. Yes, my work is worship. So therefore I'm worshiping. So how do you respond to that? That's one question. So many people say that. Or I have read Bhagavad Gita. Well, if you have read Bhagavad Gita, why are you still suffering? It means you haven't read it. So this knowledge is meant to transform. Transform the reader, transform the distributor, transform everybody. It's a process of transformation of consciousness. And when consciousness is transformed, it's transformed into something wonderful, into Krishna, Krishna consciousness. So these books help us to become Krishna consciousness. They're so important. And Prabhupada wanted that this type of preaching be foremost. Prabhupada said the communist society was successful in bringing communism in the many parts of the world because they printed and distributed profusely so much literature. Just what we say, flooding the world with literature. Prabhupada said we should flood the world with books. In America, we have one devotee. He's been a book distributor since he began. He's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He's been practicing almost 38 years now in Krishna consciousness. He distributed books. He still distributes books practically every day. He's a family. He's married. He also is a temple president. He also has a following of devotees who consider him to be their spiritual leader. But his main service is distributing books. And he's thinking always how to bring more books to people. He always has new ideas. Just like now, one thing that devotees can do is that there are hotels where people stay. Is there a lot of hotels in India? Not so much? I don't know. There's hotels here, right? Yes. One-star hotels, 2 stars, 3 stars. 5 stars. Put books in hotel rooms. The Christians have done that for years. They put Bibles in every room in hotels. And now we're doing that in America, trying to get the Bhagavad Gita in the hotel room. So people have a choice now. They can either read Bhagavad Gita or they can read, you know, the Gideon's Bible. So that's one thing. We have a thing called smart boxes. Smart boxes is for lazy people. You just set up a book table, and you put the books there, and you put a box and say, take a book and give a donation, and there's nobody there. So people come. It's like public places where people come and just, you know, go on vacation or something. And then they just see our books there and they'll just pick up a book and put a few dollars in the box and they get a book. Or, yeah, it works nicely. It's good, you know, because in America we're kind of lazy, you know, it's just like the people are pretty lazy there. But somehow it works. And then this is one way. We call them smart boxes because the boxes do all the work. The devotees just set up the table. Another one is vending machines. Just like you go and you put your money and you pull the vending machine, you get some popcorn or some potato chips or some snacks. I don't know if they have them here in India. They have vending machines here? Yeah. So we have books with vending machines. And you can put your money in, you pull out, you get Back to Godhead, and you know, what do you get? Beyond Birth and Death, like that. So machines with books in, you put in. So there's so many ways you can think of how to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. But distribute books. But read the books also. Because it's so important not only to distribute but also to read. Read and try to understand. So this is the process. So we're in the middle of this wonderful marathon. And how important these books are. Prabhupada would tell the story of the South Indian Brahmin. South Indian Brahmin, he was living in the Sri Rangam temple. He was a poor Brahmin, didn't know how to read, didn't know how to write. His spiritual master told him, you read Bhagavad Gita every day. But he couldn't read. But he was faithful to his spiritual master. And he was thinking, I have to fulfill the instructions of my spiritual master. So let me try. So he would sit there and he would go, he make all kinds of noises. But he couldn't read. He was acting like he was... The other Brahmins would say, oh, you're not reading. You can't read. And they would make fun of him and say different things. But still, every day, he would pick up the Gita. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming through that area, and he saw this Brahmin sitting there. He said, Brahmin, what are you doing? Now, the Brahmin usually didn't pay attention to people because they're always making fun of him. But he could see, this person is not making fun of me. He said, oh, well, my spiritual master said I should read Bhagavad Gita every day. But I don't know how to read. Lord Chaitanya said, I can see, yes, but you're crying? How is that if you cannot read? He said, well, I see this picture. In this picture is Krishna, he's driving the chariot for Arjuna. And when I see how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord Himself, becomes the chariot driver for His devotee, how He accepts the humble position of serving His devotee, my heart becomes filled with appreciation and gratitude. And I just become overwhelmed and I want to cry. Lord Chaitanya smiled. He smiled. He said, you have understood Gita. You have understood Gita. So to understand Gita means to understand Krishna, understand the process of devotional service. So the world is suffering. Everyone is suffering. Why are they suffering? Because they think to satisfy the senses is the goal of life. And sense gratification, as Krishna says in Gita, simply leads to more suffering. If you try to put out a fire by putting on fuel, when you first put the fuel on the fire goes down. Just like if you throw a log on a fire, immediately the fire burns less, but give it some time. And by the presence of a log, the fire becomes greater, it blazes. So sense gratification is like that. The more the soul, conditioned soul, tries to satisfy their senses, the more they create more suffering. They get the opposite of what they are looking for. But once one has knowledge of what is my situation, why am I suffering, and who I am, and how to get out of this suffering, this knowledge is the path of freedom. It's the greatest. Even, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, even in the most difficult circumstances, one is undisturbed. How can one be undisturbed in even in the most difficult circumstances? Even when it's life-threatening? And one is fixed in the knowledge that ultimately Krishna is there, and I am Krishna's servant eternally. We sing Chakshudan Diloye Janmi Janmi Prabhu Se Dibya Gyan Riddhi Prakasito. Srila Prabhupada explains this particular passage within this prayer to the spiritual master. Dibya Gyan. What is that transcendental knowledge? Dibya Gyan. He says Dibya Gyan means that the spiritual master, he imparts to you who you are, your identity. To have knowledge means that the first preliminary principle of knowledge is to know who you are. I and who you're not. To know who you are means also to know who you're not. And part of knowing who you're not is there's a lot of nots. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this. I'm not old, I'm not young, I'm not a man, I'm not a woman, I'm not an Indian, I'm not an American, I'm not stupid, I'm not smart, I'm not any of these things. What are you? Jivir Surupai Krishnera Nityadas. I'm eternally Krishna's servant. Krishna's servant eternally, not just from now on. Always have been and always will be the eternal servant of the Lord. So this is the beauty, and this is the power of this knowledge. It gives us our identity. And from our identity, when our identity becomes clear, then our activities become clear. And what are those activities? To serve the Lord in devotion. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sado Kabunoi, Shravanadi Siddhi Chitti Koriye Yudoi. That pure love of God exists within the hearts of all living entities. Not just human beings, but all living beings have pure love for Krishna. And the process to awaken that pure love of Krishna is devotional service to the Lord. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti ahoksaje. Ohoi tuki apriyata yayatma supersedati. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is called Aparibhasa Sutra. Sutra means verse. Paribhasa means that verse that establishes a principle, where other verses must submit to this verse as being supreme. And what is that saying? That devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, when it's free from any interruption or any, what we say, personal motivation, gives complete satisfaction to the heart, to the soul, to the mind, to the senses, to all of one's existence. So devotional service. And this is what this knowledge is. Someone said to Srila Prabhupada, they asked Prabhupada so many questions. His American disciples were always asking Prabhupada questions. They would always ask him everything. Prabhupada answered everything. Sometimes they would ask the wrong questions too. But they asked Prabhupada, we see that when we read your books, the same understanding is in every purport, that all you keep saying is that we're servant of Krishna. He says, yes, now you have understood my books. That this is the essence, that it's meant to teach you who you are, and not only who you are, but what you're supposed to do to serve the Lord. So we can serve the Lord, and on this Christmas marathon, and this book marathon, we can serve the Lord in such a way as by giving this knowledge to others. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who gives this knowledge to others becomes very dear to me. He says, no one is more dear, nor will there anyone be more dear than one who imparts this knowledge to others. So even if we don't have great scriptural knowledge, if we present this knowledge to others, someone becomes benefit, you become blessed. Prabhupada says that even if you're not qualified to go back home, back to Godhead, if you gave this knowledge to someone, or if you brought someone to Krishna consciousness who was able to go back to Godhead, Because you brought that person, they'll bring you. In other words, if you qualify, if you help someone go back to Godhead, even if you're not qualified to go back to Godhead, you will go back to Godhead. Special benefit. That's the power of distributing this knowledge to others. Of course, we want to qualify ourselves, but this is the special mercy of the Lord. This is the special mercy. The story is in Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj wanted to understand God. He was a young boy. He was a prince. His father was a king. His father had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. Suruchi and Suniti. Suniti was his mother, Suruchi was his stepmother. His father favored his stepmother more. And therefore, when he tried to sit on the lap of his father, his stepmother said, "No, that is not your place. It's for my son, not you." Being a Kshatriya, he became angry, a boy of only 5 years old. He went to his mother. His mother said, "What can I do? Your father is he's more affectionate to his other wife than me." He said, "I want a kingdom greater than my father, greater than his father, and greater than his father." So what he was saying is, "I want a kingdom greater than my father, whose father was Swayambhuva Manu, and whose father is Lord Brahma." He wanted a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. There's no kingdom that existed. Still, he wanted it. His mother said, "Well, it is explained by the sages and saints that anything you want in life, you have to go find God. God can give you whatever you want." "Where's God?" he said. His mother said, "He's in the forest. Great sages and saints go to the forest and perform austerities and penances." So he went into the forest. Of course, we know the story, how he performed penances, meditations for so many years. Met his spiritual master, Narada Muni, who instructed him in the science of bhakti. Finally, he met the Lord, became a pure devotee of the Lord. And then the Lord actually gave him a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. That was the pole star, called Dhruvaloka, Krishna's own planet within the material world, where Krishna stays there in the form of Shirodakshai Vishnu, Swetha Dweep. Now, after 36,000 years of ruling the planet, he was eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. The spiritual plane from Vaikuntha came to take Dhruva back to Godhead. The messengers, Nanda and Sunanda, came to take him back to the spiritual world. He said to them, "I will go, but my mother should also go, because she helped me become a devotee of the Lord." They said, "Dhruva, just look to your left." He looked to his left, and his mother was getting into another spiritual airplane, going back to Godhead. Because she wasn't qualified, she wasn't a pure devotee, but because she made a pure devotee's son, who was on his way back to Godhead, she was also eligible to go back to Godhead. So this is the power, this is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we're out there distributing books, we should know that we're helping others become Krishna conscious. And Srila Prabhupada is so pleased by this type of preaching. Bhakti Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, would tell him, "If you ever get money, print books." He said, "These books are like the Brihat Murdunga. If you play your Murdunga, the sound can go so far. But the great Murdunga, that carries." There's one beautiful story. What time are we supposed to end? I don't know. This is my first time, so I don't know what time the class ends. Okay. keep going for a while? Yeah, okay. Okay. As long as you're awake. If you're not awake, raise your hand. No, don't do that. The story is that when Prabhupada wanted to go to Russia, it was very difficult to get into Russia. Finally, Shyamasundara Prabhu got Prabhupada a visa to go to Russia. But at that time, it was such a strict communist country that one could not bring in any kind of religious material. So no books were allowed to come. But Malati, the wife of Shyamasundara, she put a Bhagavad Gita in Shyamasundara's suitcase, and he didn't even know it. So when they arrived at the customs in Russia, they were searching the luggage to see. And then the customs official, he saw this book. He said, "What is this?" Shyamasundara was surprised. He didn't know the Gita was there. It's because if they catch you, they'll tell you you can't come in. But they can also give you some punishment. So no one said anything. So the man picked up the book. And when he picked it up, he dropped it. It slipped out of his hand. And Malati had put all these papers and pages and pictures inside the books in different places. And they all fell in different places. So the man became very upset. So he saw everything. So he started picking it up. And he picked them all up and he put them in book. And he said, here's your book. Because he dropped it, he just forgot he was supposed to look at the book. You know, he felt embarrassed. So that book got in, along with Prabhupada. And that book was left in Russia, and Prabhupada was preaching to one young man who later became initiated as Ananta Shakti. He took that book and then he showed it to others, and they copied that book by hand, the whole Gita. And that's how they distributed the books in Russia. There was no printing presses, there was no devotees. So they did everything underground, and they just copied that whole book. And then someone else would get that book and they'd copy it. And then someone else would copy that book. And that was book distribution in Russia. And gradually it spread. Now we can see Russia is one of the biggest Krishna conscious yatras outside of India. The biggest, actually, of all the European and Western countries. Russia is foremost. So how valuable and how, what we say, effective these books are. Amazing. And there are so many stories, and so many stories of how people's lives have been transformed, how these books have been honored and been accepted by even great authorities. Great authorities have accepted these. So this knowledge is priceless. It's priceless. You can't purchase it. You can't sell it. You can't give it away. You can be just a means to distribute it to others and hope by some miracle that someone will take it to heart. And once they do, then the path back home, back to Godhead, is open. So this is the highest welfare work, to give this transcendental knowledge to others. Therefore, Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, Bhakti Siddhanta actually started it. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said it. He said, make the printing press, print books, and distribute this knowledge. So we have these books. We should read them, understand them, apply them, and distribute them like that. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Comments? No questions? Okay, we'll have some kirtan.